It's a privilege to be here and share with you. I want to, just before I start, just want to thank the church. Over the years, DUMC has stood with us as we reached out in many different countries, but I want to just highlight one. At the height of the crisis in Iraq, when ISIS was sweeping east towards Mosul, DUMC was one of the churches that helped us as we went in and worked with churches in Erbil, six churches in Erbil in the Kurdish Autonomous Region, as they began to send out teams to receive the Christian and Yazidis who were being driven out by ISIS. And they ran medical teams and provided care and tents and water and food and took care of children, started schools for kids. So DUMC was a part of that. I think many of you probably didn't even know you were involved in Erbil. But on behalf of the six churches in Erbil, Kurdish churches in Erbil, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your faithfulness, for how you've stepped out and blessed nations. And I pray that God will continue to use you to step out and bless the nations. Amen? I don't know about you, but how many of you have come across portions of Scripture that you read and then you decide to do a Holy Ghost skip over because it's too confusing? One of that portion of Scripture that I used to do the Holy Ghost skip over was that portion of Scripture we just read just now. Because we have a picture of Jesus who's kind and gentle and loving, and his face is full of grace. And then all of a sudden we read here in Matthew 21, 12, 13, Jesus went into the temple and he drove out all those who bought and sold, and he turned the tables, he chased them out. In fact, if you read the other Gospels, he actually made the whip himself. Now, how do you share that story to children's church? That's not quite fitting, right? And I used to wonder, what made Jesus so angry? And then I heard someone share. He said, you know, because church and business shouldn't mix. Because they were doing business in the church, that's why God was angry. And then I hear the announcement in the church. Those of you who want to buy church camp t-shirts are still available for sale at that counter. Say, hey, this doesn't sound right. What made Jesus so angry? Was it the selling, the trading, the money changes? Because the money changes were there because Jews would come from all over Asia Minor, converge to Jerusalem, and before they could go and buy the doves to be offered for sacrifice, they have to change their currency. So they changed their currency to a Palestinian currency, and then they would go and they would buy doves and then offer those doves up as a sacrifice. What's wrong with that? Nothing in that story kind of quite gelled until I read Mark 11, 15 and 17. Because in Mark 11, 15 and 17, which relates this very same incident, it adds a very important portion of Scripture in that Scripture. It says in Mark 11, 15 and 17, the reason God drove them out and he was angry was because he said this house, which is to be called a house of prayer for the nations, the word for the nations was not in Matthew, but you'll find it in the book of Mark. What made Jesus angry? Isaiah 56, 7. He said that this house, the Lord said, this house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. If you read in the book of 2 Chronicles 6, 32, when Solomon stood at the dedication of the temple, and after he's prayed for everything, then he prayed for this. Lord, when the strangers, when the aliens, when the foreigners, when the nations, when they come here to this house, and they cry out to you, hear their prayer, Lord, and answer them. That very place where Jesus stood, which was the outer court, where they used to set up all these stalls, was the place from which Solomon stood and prayed. Because that's where the nations could come and stand, called the court of the nations, court of the Gentiles. But what was happening here in Jerusalem is the Jews were so busy with their own religious rituals that they forgot the purpose for which that court was set up. It was set up so that the nations could come, so that anyone could come in and cry out to God. And Solomon said, God, hear their prayers. And God said, Isaiah 56:7, this house must be a house of prayer for all the nations. What upset Jesus was that Israel was so preoccupied with itself that it forgot why that place was set up. Not because they were trading or changing currency, but because they missed a very important part of the entire plan of God's redemption. They missed a very critical message of the entire Bible. If we read the Bible, if we look at some of the major events that took place in the Bible and trace the scriptures, throughout scriptures we find a very common thread or a scarlet thread, and that's God's desire for all nations. But the tendency has always been for Israel throughout the Old Testament to get so preoccupied with being blessed that they forget why God was blessing them. You know, I used to like to think of myself like, wow, you know, when we hear songs in church, we are sheep, you are shepherd. I used to think, wow, how cute. You know, this poor sheep, so cuddly, fluffy, so nice. And then God says, I'm your shepherd. Wow, all sounds very nice. And then somebody told me a story about sheep one day. And that's when I stopped liking being a sheep. He said, you know, something strange about the sheep is this. It's one of the few animals, the next is probably a shark, but one of the few animals in the world that you can feed and feed and feed and feed and feed and feed. It doesn't know when to stop eating. In fact, this shepherd, this farmer told me, and it's possible for the sheep to get so fed that it can become round. And it becomes round when a wind blows or it stumbles and it falls, it goes turtle. That means the legs go up. And the weight of all the feeding will actually press against the lungs and the sheep will die. When I heard the story, I said, God, I'm not very thrilled to be a sheep anymore. But you know, that's what happened in the Old Testament with Israel. You know, we read in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses stood up and he said, remember, when you've eaten, you're full, you've built your house, you've got everything. That's what Moses said, yeah? Remember, the reason I'm doing all this for you is because of the covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you find in the book of Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, is a covenant of, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. So that you can be a blessing. He kept on saying that. Throughout that covenant, and that covenant was a covenant that was sealed in blood. It was a blood covenant. When God himself came to Abraham and cut the animals into two, and he walked in between those animals, and he made that blood covenant with Israel, and he said, I will bless you and make you into a great nation. I will make your name great. I will make you powerful. I'll make you amazingly powerful. I'll bless you so that you will be a blessing. But what happened over and over again, and Moses stood up and cried out to them, and he said, remember, he loves you, but he didn't choose you because you were stronger than everybody else. That's what he said. He didn't choose you because you were more beautiful than everybody else. He chose you because of the covenant. And that covenant is that I will bless you so that through you, all the families, all the nations, all the people, all the languages of the earth will be blessed. And it's very significant that Genesis 12 comes after Genesis 11. Because Genesis 11 is the Tower of Babel, when God scattered the people and they spoke different languages. And then he said, out of those different languages, I'm going to choose one. And I'm going to use that one to be a blessing. But over and over again, Israel forgot. They forgot. I think one of the Psalms that I really like to read is Psalm 67. You know, it's an amazing Psalm. Psalm 67. Because a lot of times, we can read one part of the message and then we don't read the rest of that message. Like, how many of you know this verse? Be still and know that I am God. How many of you know that? How many of you know that at the end of God, there isn't a full stop? There isn't a full stop. Because the second part of that verse said, so that the ends of the earth will be blessed. So that you can see what I am doing to all the nations of the earth. So that you can see what I'm doing in the world. There's always a second part. But what Israel kept on missing was they got so involved with the first part of being blessed. And their entire religious ritual life was around that first part of how to be blessed, how to get even more blessed. Blessed in different ways, blessed in this, blessed, and their entire life was blessed, blessed, blessed this, blessed that, and that's what made Jesus angry. But you read in Psalm 67, and I'm going to read this whole psalm, because here is a psalm where you see both parts. God will bless, God will do all these things, but he's got another part to it. Psalm 67, God be merciful to us, and bless us, and cause your face to shine upon us. Amen. Let's go home. Hasn't finished yet. The second part, there's another part to that. Why? Why God be merciful to us and bless us and cause your face to shine up? Why? That your way may be known on earth. Your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. There's always that two part. What happened in Israel is they always focused on that one part. And that's why the entire story of the Old Testament is a story of a people who were blessed by God. They got blessed, more blessed, and then they forget. And once they forget, they turn away from him. And then God sent the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and God sent the nations and took them captive. They were slaves. And when they became captives, they sat down and they cried out to God again. How many of you know the song? By the rivers of Babylon. That's in the Bible. Huh? That was one of those times. When they were blessed, they forgot and they became captive. They cried out, God, we're sitting here by the rivers of Babylon crying out to you, restore us, Lord. And when they cried out to God, God restored them. And he brought them back. And then he begins to bless them again. Guess what happens next? They forget. And they go through the entire cycle over and over again. And probably one of the best places that we see a picture of this is in the story of Hosea. The story of Hosea is an amazing story because it's a story of God's unrelenting love. God's unrelenting love for Israel and for us today. His unrelenting love. Because here was Hosea who went and took Gomer. And this lady who he bought in the market, who was a prostitute, and took her home and made her his wife. And instead of being satisfied with that blessing and being content in that, after a while, she got familiar. She got used to it. She got used to the blessing. And then the Bible read, we read in the book of Hosea. And then she left Hosea, and Gomer went after strange men again. So over and over again, this was the story of the Old Testament. Story of God blessing, God reaching out, taking us, redeeming us, and then, like Gomer, running after strange gods again. Because we get familiar. We get familiar with Scripture. We get familiar with the covenant. We get familiar with God. What a sad story. What a sad story. Now, the entire Old Testament, when it over and over again begins to focus on that. You know, when I begin to understand this, I struggled with this for close to a month. Because I was doing ministry in a place that I loved very much. I used to do church planting work in Russia. And I love Russia. I love everything about Russia. I love borscht. I love potatoes. I love sausages. I love everything about Russia. But as God began to challenge my heart and said, you know, there are places in this world where people have never heard the name of Jesus even once. That was a real struggle for me. God, but I love Russia. In my last experience was in Russia was an amazing experience. I was working in the part of eastern Russia, the Ural Mountains bordering Siberia. And we were working here with this Russian pastor who happened to be a former army sniper. You know, a Russian army is already bad. Russian army sniper, not very good. When I met him, and the first thing he looked at me and he said, oh, this one cannot do. Very difficult. These people here, very difficult to share the gospel here. Because this place is very, very evil, very dark. And it was a very evil and dark place because this was just outside Ekaterinburg, where some of the harshest persecution took place. When the rise of communism and the murder of the royalty. And so it was a very difficult place. Thousands of them just disappeared from this area. So I remember walking in and I was telling God, maybe this is your way of telling me it's time to go. Because now you gave me a Russian sniper. I said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to listen to you for something else. But God did some amazing thing with that Russian army sniper. I remember walking into the town and everybody was hollow. I don't know if you've ever seen people with hollow eyes. There is no life there. There was nothing. There was nothing in their soul. They were just totally empty. You know, and I've never seen people like that before. You know, I've been involved before that in about four other church plants in Russia. But when I saw this place, I said, God, what a place you've sent me to. But I remember how God began to show me how powerful he was and how I just need to be a donkey, just carry his name. In fact, just before the cleansing of the temple was Jesus coming in on the donkey. You know, you just be the donkey. You know, and I remember he used to say, you know, you go and give out the tracts, nobody will come because they don't want to know about Jesus, about Christ. And I remember walking out to the market, and I stood out at the market, and there was a long queue of everyone in the market queuing up to shake my hands and get a tract from me. Because they've never seen an Indian guy in their life. And so I didn't have to go give to anyone. They were all lined up. They were coming and collecting from me. So I just stood there, and then some wait around, asked me for autographs or more. And this Russian pastor said, that's strange. I never seen that happen before. And then a school teacher came up and said, could you come in and talk to us in our school? I said, oh, we've got about 400 kids in our school, and we'd like you to come in maybe next Tuesday. We'll cancel last day of class. Could you come and just and speak to us? And of course, I said, yes. Then the Russian army sniper told me, that's the school you don't want to go to. I said, why? Said, that's where you get 13, 14-year-old who are drug addicts from all over that province who've been kicked out from family, and they are all in that school. So you don't want to go to that school. All of a sudden, I started to pray, Lord, close this door. I also don't want to go. Monday morning, the teacher came knocked on the door and said, "I'm so sorry, we have to cancel tomorrow." I tried to look as sad as I could. Ah, such a pity. Never mind, it's okay. Then Tuesday morning, there was another knock on the door. "I got good news for you. The headmaster is sick, you can still come." So we went to the school. We went to the school and I saw these kids, and man, they were wild. They were wild. You know, they were just totally out of control. And so the teachers, they came up to me and they said, "We're getting everyone together in the hall. You know, do whatever you want to do. Talk about anything you want to talk about. You know, just say whatever you want to say." They're just happy to see someone. They didn't say different. So I remember, and then some of them also whispered in my ears, they said, "But please don't get offended, because usually the last subject, most of them already walk out of school. They don't attend the last subject. So if they walk away, you know, halfway you're talking, they leave, please don't be offended, you know, please." So I said, "It's okay, I'm fine." And I remember standing up there and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to say to them? I picked up the guitar and I sang a song in Tamil. I won't try it here. Then I sang another song in Chinese. I definitely won't try it here. I sang another song in Tagalog. Then I just sang a few different songs, and I sang a song in Russian. And every one of them were there. It was like, took about 15 minutes and no one left, because they thought, this is interesting. And then I shared with them and I said, you know, no matter where you are in your life, there is no mess that Jesus cannot clean up. No mess he can't clean. So whatever your mess is, this Jesus, he's able to deal with that. There is nothing that you can do that can become greater than his ability to demonstrate his grace to you and forgive you and restore you. And I remember seeing first two rows, I could see some of the girls were crying. The teachers were all in shock at the sight, you know, what's going on here, because they'd never seen this before. And we went on for about an hour. Then one by one, they began to stand up and ask questions. "Do you think God can forgive me? I have done this." I said, "Yes, God can forgive you." And we went on for about 40 minutes, which was the last subject. Then the teacher said, "Carry on some more." So we carried on some more for 1 hour. And the teacher said, "Carry on some more." So we carried on for an hour and a half. He just said, "Carry on some more." We carried on for about 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. At the end, I told the students, I said, "You know, this weekend is Resurrection Weekend. And we're going to start a church in this town. And I'd like to invite all of you to come. And we're going to be meeting in this hall. Will you come?" And that's when we ended. And of course, at the end, everyone again shake my hand, look at my skin color a bit. Is this real? Real? And then took picture. I didn't tell you the other half of the story. Actually, don't laugh, okay? Actually, this is far or Siberia, but they only watch two types of movies: Russian movies and Indian movies. So I was like their first Shah Rukh Khan or something. You know, so that's why, you know, anyway. And I remember walking in, and we were praying that morning before we started their Sunday morning, when we were going to have, we rented the town hall, which was used to be the Communist Party hall, and we put out posters inviting people to come. And I remember the pastor, this Russian army sniper, walking up with me, and he said, "Please don't worry, you know, I don't think many people will come, so please, you know, we just do what we can do, you know." Remember, as we were walking in, we could hear a loud noise. He's wondering what happened. Maybe somebody canceled our booking. And we went up and he checked and said the entire hall was full, and there were about 350 people. And he looked at me and he's already in shock, you know, because the whole hall was full. And then he apologized to me. He said, I booked the smallest hall I could find. Now I went up and I shared in that meeting, and the whole front row were all the young people from that school. You know, I shared in that meeting, I shared about resurrection, I shared about what the death, resurrection of Jesus means to us. And we remembered him in Holy Communion today. What it means to us that he came, that he can heal us, restore us, and give life back to us. And I shared that message. And I saw this guy who was standing right behind. And I couldn't stop looking at him because he was about 6'7". He had a beard that was so thick, you couldn't see his mouth. And he looked like Stalin. And I said, God, please keep this guy away from me. At the end of the day, end of the message, I gave an opportunity. And the first guy who came walking straight to the front was Stalin. He came straight in front of me, and he, to the interpreter, said, pray for me. I said, sure, sir. Yes, sir. I will do, sir. You know? And as he began to pray, Stalin began to cry. This is not good. You know, gradually, the entire hall was in front. And we saw that day the church started in that place where the Russian army sniper said it's impossible. He said it's impossible. That service in that church that morning, that we had the hall rental till about 12 o'clock, we started at about 10, we had it till 12, that service that morning went on until 7 o'clock at night because nobody wanted to leave. Halfway through, we had to go again and look for a house big enough to accommodate people because they didn't want to go. Halfway through, while we were doing all of this, praying and sharing, a young couple from the school went home and brought their parents back and said, can you please conduct our wedding? I said, what? Say, we have been living in sin. We're living together. We've been living in sin. But now we decide that we want to get married. So it was a service that had marriage, had all kinds of things going on. And it finished at 7. And that place, which we thought was impossible, today has 27 churches started. 27 churches. You see, when God blesses and we are willing to trust and believe that he's blessing us is so that we can go out and be a blessing. We are not doing missions because there's something interesting to do. We are doing missions in direct response to exactly what God wants us to do. How can God's blessings not follow? How can his blessings not follow? When we are willing to step out and do that which God has instituted, why would he withhold his blessings? Why would he? Just across from Malaysia, southern Sumatra, and this was the first unreached people group I got involved with after that grand closing ceremony for my church plant work in Russia, when I finally said, God, I'm satisfied with what I've seen. I'm satisfied. So if you're bringing me to other nations where people have never heard about Jesus before, I'm ready to follow you and go to those places. Now, I was about, you know, at that point of time, I was ready to start a Bible school, write my first book, and maybe even do a movie. I was ready to retire. And God said, no, I want you to go to places, the 29.4%. who've never heard the name of Jesus before. I remember walking into one village in the border of Myanmar and Thailand. I walked in and I asked them, have you heard of Jesus? They all looked at one another and they said, he doesn't live here. There is no one here by the name of Jesus. But they know Michael Jordan. They know Michael Jackson. But they never heard of Jesus before. And there are places like that. One of the first places I got involved with was just across the straits and in southern Sumatra. It was a people that were about 1.5 million people who were not just resistant to the gospel, but they were actually actively hostile against the gospel. And I remember walking in there and talking to some leaders and pastors asking, I feel that we need to share the gospel to these people. And they looked at me and they said, Papa Suna Gilaya, are you crazy? You don't want to go there. He said, even us Indonesians don't want to go there. He said, when we drive through there, we drive as quickly as possible. Because that's a very dangerous place. You don't want to go there. But you know, that's where God was, the Holy Spirit was saying, I want you to go there. Yeah. Remember, I had a team with me, about 15 people on my team. And one of the interesting about this team is, and just like a lot of teams, there is always one joker in the team. Or even in every family, you usually got one joker. Or every group or every office, there's one joker. Well, this guy, from the first day I saw him, I thought to myself, the pastor who sent him here, very smart. Cannot handle him in church, send him to become missionary. Because see, this guy was just do opposites of everything. We all want to eat noodles, he wants to eat rice. We all want to go this way, he said, no, I want to shower first. We all stand, he wants to sit. Everything he did was, I saw trouble written all over his face. I remember, you know, we went up to this lake, which was a dead volcano, and we were just going to go up there to pray, because this 1.5 million people who lived in the river from which this volcano, the lake, the water flowed. So we thought we'll just go up there as a point of prayer and just intercede for that people. And sometimes when you're desperate, your prayer also becomes very powerful. You know, and I remember standing there, I said, well, I didn't know I can pray like that. Because I had no idea what to do. I remember standing there at the lake, I picked up a piece of wood, I broke the piece of wood, threw it into the water, and I said, God, make this bitter water sweet, Lord. So that wherever this water flow, the people who drink from it and wash their clothes and bathe in it will hear about Jesus. I was very impressed with their prayer. But in my heart, I was saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Because they were telling me, these guys will kill you. These guys will kill you. And I remember when the next day, as we got the team together and I was telling guys, I felt that we can't do anything. We can't go into those villages. We can't pray. Preach or do anything, but I want you to just bring your cameras with you, and we're going to stop, and we're going to split up into three groups, about five each, and we're going to stop in a few of these villages. I want you to walk in, and I want you just to pray. Don't do anything. Please don't say anything, unless you've got a call to be a martyr or long-term prison ministry or something. But don't say anything. Don't do anything. All right, and don't tell them who you are. Just pray in your heart. Pray that God will bless them. Pray that God will bless them, that somehow they will know how much God loves them. Just pray. Don't say anything. And because I was in charge, I made sure trouble, you know, the guy trouble, was as far away from me as possible. God, I didn't want to go anywhere near him. I made sure he was very... You know, I tell you, the last night before we left, we were eating across the table. He was eating and he had rice going up his nose. I mean, you look at that and it's not very inspiring. Hey, God, here am I, Lord, send him, Lord. I don't feel very inspired right now. So when we split up into three groups and we left, and I said, okay, in about 1.5 hours as we're driving down, we'll meet at this shop in this village. Have some bakso, have some noodles there, okay? So just drive and then we'll meet there. Remember, don't say anything. Just pray and bless them. Bless them that they will be blessed, that who needs healing will get healing, that they will know God's love, they will have God's provision, that God's blessing will be upon them, right? So we split up and I arrived back at the main town and waited. The second group arrived and we waited half an hour. 45 minutes, 1 hour. I mean, guess which group is the one that hasn't come back yet, lah? You already know which one. And after about 2.5 hours, then the van pulls in, and then they come running out, and the first one running out was trouble. And when he ran towards me, my first instinct was to cover my noodles. Because when he speaks, not only rice goes in, things also come out. You know, and I just, you know. And he was telling me, oh, there were miracles. I said, shh, quiet, sit down. So I leaned over to one of our local friends and I said, please check what happened. Then I found out what happened. They arrived in this village and they walked in. And everyone was doing what they were instructed to do. Take pictures and pray for God's blessing to be on the villages. The head of the village came out and asked them, who were they? And of all people, the one who opened their mouth was Trouble. And Trouble's first line was, oh, we are Christians. That was his first line. The rest of them looked at him and they said, huh? They were already beginning to sink into the ground, you know? Say, why are you opening your mouth? You know, sometimes when you say the wrong thing, the best thing is to keep quiet. Because the more you speak, the worse it becomes. Trouble was just like that. He didn't know what to say. He carried on talking because he knew he was already in trouble. Because the rest of them were already sinking very quickly in the ground. So he knew that was a bad sign. And he couldn't stop talking. And finally he said, is there anything we can do for you? And this head of the village, you know, he was angry. But in typical Indonesian style, where they want to end a conversation, but they don't want to tell you that I feel like killing you. So they'll tell you something that is impossible to do so that you will say, oh, sorry, bye. So he looked at them and he said, I had a stroke. And part of my body, you saw me walking, is paralyzed. You can't do anything for me. And Trouble opened his mouth and said, oh, we can pray for you. By now, the rest of the team, the other four of them were already 3 feet under. Only the half of their body was out. And he looked at him and said, what are you doing, man? He's trying to tell you, I'm going to kill you, but please go away. And he says, I'll pray for you. And this man, he didn't know how to respond. He looked and he said, okay. So he said, okay, you can pray for me. And he looked at the rest of them. The rest of them said, no way, man. We're not praying. You pray. Anybody's head roll, your head roll first. We are running away. You know, they looked at him and said, you pray. And you know, sometimes when you're hungry, it's important to get the right person to pray. Because the wrong person pray, you know, you're hungry and they're praying for Africa. They're praying for India. They're praying for China. The char kway teow is getting colder. But they're praying for the whole world and you're drooling. Oh God, when will we end? By the time I finish praying, no more appetite already. Get the right person to pray. He just started from the book of Genesis, creation, and he went to Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He was going through the whole Bible. And those guys, they were like, oh God, please take us home, Lord. And all of a sudden, they heard a loud shout, saya sembuh, bawa semua orang sakit keluar. He saw this head of the village jumping around and dancing. He was completely healed. And the guys looked in horror right in front of their eyes. Now, they were shocked by the healing, definitely. But they were even more shocked that God heard Trouble. God, you listen to this one. But I tell you, if God can listen to that one, God can listen to you and I. But we saw that morning how this God's desire is for the nations. His desire is for the nations. He just wants us to be willing to step out and He will meet us and bring us the rest of the way. Because what He is calling us to do goes right in line with what He desires to do, what His will is. And we saw in that village, we saw 18 of them come to the town the next week and they were going looking for a church. And I remember one of the pastors told me, the head of the village, he had a conversation and he told the pastor said, are you from this area? Yes. He said, oh, kamu tidak bisa jadi Christian? He said, you cannot become Christian. And this was the words of the head of the village. He said this. He said, kalau Yesus yang sembuh saya dan orang-orang di kampung saya, tidak ada orang yang bisa halang kami dari percaya. If this Jesus is the one who healed me and the people in my village, no one will stop us from believing in this Jesus. Today, we have 7 workers in that area, and we've got 6 churches. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, this house is a house for all nations. He meant us to be a house for all nations. It doesn't matter who you and I are, because He can use a donkey. He can use a donkey. He can use any one of us. And then, he can use trouble. Trust me, I have a picture of trouble, but I don't want to show him because just in case he watched live streaming. I'm talking about him. I mean, there is nothing in trouble that you would find desirable to use. But God was still able to use him because his desire is for the nations. As we live today and we look, we saw that video that we watched just now. You know, that some of the places where the gospel is moving the fastest is places that we would have said impossible. 3 countries, or the 4 countries where the church is growing the fastest in order of speed is Iran, Afghanistan, China, and India. This is where the church is growing the fastest, because God desires that all nations come to Him. We know what the end is going to be because we read in the book of Revelations when the throne of God was revealed and people standing before Him like a sea of glass, people from every tongue, every tribe, and every nation will be crying out to God, "Holy, holy, holy, salvation belongs to our God." God's desire is for the nations. And as a church, you've been such a blessing for the nations. But this evening, would you consider, as a family or as an individual, how can I step out from where I am and be a blessing to the nations, Lord? Will you close your eyes as we pray? All Jesus said is, if you call upon my name, I will answer you and I will save you. There are no preconditions for God's love. All Jesus said is, call on my name. Just call on my name and I will answer you and I will save you. So if you are here seated and you've never given your life to Jesus before or prayed and said, "Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you." Or if you're watching this and you're not even here, but you're watching this and you've never prayed and given your life to Jesus, today can be the day when you can cry out to Jesus and say, "Lord, I want to cry out to your name. Will you save me?" And his arms, his everlasting arms, he will wrap his arms around you and he will save you and salvation will come to you. Will you give your life to Jesus?